We're up to Siman Tovkuf Pei Tes. We're up to the last Seif, which we started yesterday. I do want to go over it again because there's some additional points which I feel are really important. I want to go through them again. So the top, that's page 126 on top. Let me please allow me to start again the Seif and add some points to that. Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. The Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, Shechal Yoyis B'Shabbos, which fell on Shabbos. Okay, when was that last time? When was Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos? Was he recently? I think it was recently, no? It was recently. Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, do you remember? A few years ago, do you remember? It was fairly recently, I think. Not last year, but maybe. How long ago?
3 years.
3 years ago, okay. So, the halach, of course, is Ein Toikin B'Shoifa. We will not blow the Shoifa if Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. Why not? So we learned yesterday, Sif Kot Yud Gimel Mishneh Bura, Ein Toikin B'Shoifa, Gzeir Hashem Itlenu B'Yodoi, Leilech Etzalboki, Lilmud Yavirenu Abba Ames Poshus Rabbim. We are concerned that maybe the Baal Tekiah is not such an amazing Baal Tekiah, and he's going to forget, oh yeah, forgot how to blow the Shoifa. And because he forgot how to blow the Shoifa, he's going to have to go to his Rav, and say, please, can you show me, not Rav necessarily, to an experienced Baal Tekiah, he's going to, please, can you just remind me how to blow a Shoifa? And by doing so, he's going to transgress an Issa D'Raisa of carrying Dalet Amas and Rosh Hasharabim. And that's why this is a Gzeira which Chachomi made, and as we mentioned yesterday, the same Gzeira applies with Megillah, with Lulav, with other areas of Lochen, that's called Gzeira D'Rova. Chachomim preferred to avoid the mitzvah altogether, for all future generations, rather than have a possibility of a fellow transgressing an Issa of carrying Dalet Amas Rosh Hasharabim. This is a fascinating concept because it teaches us more than anything else. What do you think it teaches us more than anything else? That's right, the severity of Shabbos. The Chachamim said, you know what? Forget about the mitzvah. Forget about the huge mitzvah of blowing shofar. It's a huge mitzvah. A once a year opportunity. A huge mitzvah. And we find them in Farshim how great the mitzvah, what great things it does for the judgment of Hashem. What great things it does to blow the shofar on Shabbos. Chachamim said, you know what? Leave it. Just forget it. Forget it all. Because it might be that a person may transgress by mistake an issur d'oraisa of Shabbos, of carrying on Shabbos. So forget it. Forget it. It's not worth it. It shows us the severity of Shabbos and severity of Chet altogether. It's not worth doing an Avera, a Sofik Avera, for all the hundreds of years. It's not worth if one fellow does it. And it's almost amazing. It's a very powerful point over here. Really, 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 really powerful. There is a famous Pnei Yeshua that always goes around, and the Pnei Yeshua is always quoted when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. And he said that only makes sense if we keep Shabbos thoroughly. Because imagine if we're not strict on Hilcha Shabbos, then we look really, really silly. Can I just finish that thought? Because we really look silly. Because we cancel off such a huge mitzvah because of Hilcha Shabbos, but at home, we by mistake use this, by mistake do that, and we do this and that and the other, which are all leniencies, is that we look silly. What? You're okay to do all those leniencies, but when it comes to blowing shofar, you're not. Suddenly Shabbos is so holy. Do you understand? So days of it, you have to be very. So he said that it shows. He said Pnei Yeshua said that shows us how. He said it wouldn't be genuine if we're not machmen al Chashabas. Says the Pnei Yeshua. Does that make sense? He said it's not. It wouldn't be genuine. It looks ridiculous. Says the Pnei Yeshua. That's a very interesting point. But that's Gzeirat Rova, the famous Gzeirat Rova, and that is why we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. There is a yeah. Sorry. Yeah, you were first. Sorry. Yeah. A moel.
Can they not carry a knife and things?
Yeah. There is some halach with regards to a moel. And you're quite right. So what you're basically asking, an interesting question. You're asking, hold on a sec. So we are concerned about a yid carrying the shofar, but we're not concerned about, when it comes to a mila, we're generally not concerned. I mean, imagine it's a place, no, so the halach is that a moel cannot carry. Where there's no eruv, there's a proper Rosh Hasharabim, a moel will not be allowed to carry. There are some leniencies, I know what you're referring to, but generally a moel cannot carry just a knife or the baby. He can through a goy, and there are some etayim do apply, but a person can't just carry a knife on Shabbos to do the mitzvah's milah. So you're saying, so the question is, why don't we cancel off on Shabbos as well all the milas? So don't do a bris milah on Shabbos because maybe somebody's a moel or the babe, the father of the right is going to. That's right. That's right. So he's going to make. I mean, well, you just made the bris on Shabbos. Well, you know, imagine that. You say, oh, I forgot the knife at home. I mean, you're pretty nervous, I'm sure, and like we all, you know. the day of the bris. We're pretty nervous, aren't we? No, on the day of the bris. Oh, I forgot that. I forgot the knife. I forgot the baby. Who knows what I forgot? I'm going to carry. I'm going to start. So why is there no concern that we're going to end up carrying something on Shabbos? And we allow a bris milah to take place on Shabbos. That's the question you're asking. I didn't want to speak about it, but it's a very interesting question. The answer, in a nutshell, what the majority of achronim, the achronim asked this question. The general answer for that is that the basic answer is because when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, we are all of that worry, and we all want to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar. So we all might just get a little bit confused for a minute and end up carrying. We all might not cap what's going on. But when it comes to a bris milah, it's just the father who is nervous. And he might end up doing something, but everybody else is going to say, hey, what are you doing? You're carrying on Shabbos. We're going to stop him. This will not apply with regards to a shofar on Shabbos, because we are all in the same boat type of thing. As opposed to bris milah, where just the chashash would only apply to the father, not to anybody else. Have I answered your question? Yeah, does that make sense?
Right. Other people to warn him.
Exactly. That's the point. That's precisely what others to warn him, as opposed to shofar, which the mitzvah applies to everybody. But bris milah doesn't apply to everybody, it just applies to one particular. But, yeah.
Two people, one eating meat, one eating milk, opposite each other.
Yep.
And their halachas about whether...
Correct. Simon pays...
Whether they're eating separately, they're eating together.
Correct.
They can be... What's the word? They can...
They cannot be sitting on one table without a hekka.
But they can warn each other.
Yes.
That they can look out for each other.
They can. Yes.
So Mustama, the same would be true...
With regards to...
Chofar.
No, so that's a little bit different over there. It's a little different. It's a good point. It's a discussion on its own. But over there, it's going to be, over there, we're assuming, in Hilchas Peches, if I remember correctly what you're referring to, if I know what you're talking about, there is two stages, because by the time I start eating for somebody else's plate, we'll be able to remind me. So there is a bit of a time gap, as opposed to by shofar, where they wouldn't apply. It's going to be too late already. It's been over already.
Two people learning by the same lamp on Shabbos.
Right, Shemayate.
So, and again, if there's one person learning by lamp, there's a problem.
Okay, yeah. Okay, these areas will have to be explored. I hear what you're saying, yeah.
One is like, it's always bothered me, this whole shofar thing. It only, like, kind of feel like, more than it teaches you the how common Shabbos is, it kind of emphasizes, if the Chachamim were Menachem, then we're Bnei Adam, and if Menachem were Bnei Adam, then we're...
How likely we are to actually transgress something?
Well, no, just that if you'd have asked me, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Absolutely no, it's the most illogical thing in the entire universe.
Right.
LMI...
Must be that we're lacking something.
You have to be Machnira.
Right. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Right, nice point, nice point.
More of a limit in Chachamah than a limit in anything else. Like.
Yeah, very, I agree with you. It's an interesting point. Yeah.
Sorry. I was just saying, if the severity of carrying, if it would ever happen, carrying on the Shabbos, for when the Rosh Hashanah, first day of Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, if it's such a big severity, why did it come? Why would it have to come to the Chachamim to come along to make a gezeira?
Because what would happen if somebody says, "I'm sure I won't. I'm sure. I'm just positive because I'm keeping three shofars in shul and six shofars at home. I know it's not going to happen. I just won't. I won't carry. And anyway, I'm such an expert Baal Tekiah. Everybody comes to me. I'm not going to go to anybody.
It should have been in the actual. I mean, I'm saying it should be in the chumash. It should have been.
It should be.
Right.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's an interesting point. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But that's really what it says over here, that there's the Rabbanon over here. It's an interesting point. It's a valid point. But Chachamim over here had the koyach to uproot and it's a mitzvah deraisa. There's a mitzvah deraisa to blow. Chachamim said, forget it, we're not doing it. Yeah. Let me share with you a question that the Bir Halacha, the Chofetz Chaim asked elsewhere. He asked the following question. He said, I understand if there's a proper Rishus Rabim deraisa. We know, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. The proper Issa deraisa is merely, the biblical transgression is only, if there's a Rishus Rabim deraisa, meaning, if it's a proper Rishus Rabim, 600,000 people going across, that's a proper Rishus Rabim. What happens if there's no Rishus Rabim deraisa? There's no Rishus Rabim deraisa at all. Or what happens then? Is there any concern? Because what could be the worst that happens? It would only be, what could be the worst that happens? Loy plug. See, very interesting. The Bialocha doesn't answer that. The Bialocha, very interesting question. The Bialocha says, Tzorich Ian, I don't know. If there is really no problem with Shazarab and Deraisa, not sure why we are not carrying. Not sure. Why we're not carrying. Why we're not blowing, he says. Not sure. And he leaves it with a tzolchin, he leaves it with a question mark. It's very interesting. He doesn't seem to be going with low plug, which is an interesting question in its own. I don't know the answer, why not? Okay, that leads us to the last few words of the Ramah in the Siman Tovku Peiches. And over there, that's the question he's addressing is a shofar muktzah, yes or no? Is shofar muktzah? On Shabbos? Shofar muktzah?
Yeah.
So this is what the Ramah says over here. You're not allowed to carry it only for tzirch gufo im mekoymoy. Now we know there's two levels of mukta. One, the simple level of mukta is that you cannot carry something generally, but if you need its place, meaning imagine this is something which is mukta. But if I need the place now because I'm davening here, I can carry it away, I can put it away. Tzirch mekoymoy. And tzirch gufo, if I need this mukta item for its own purpose, tzirch gufo im mekoymoy, I would be allowed to carry it. That's a lower level of mukta. You're allowed to move it about, tzirch gufo, for its own purpose, or mekoyma, or for its place. So the Ramah says over here, a shofar is, you're allowed to move it to tzirch gufo mekoyma. The points came, however, disagree with that nowadays, and they, because of the, based on the Mishnah Berurah that says, tzivkot tezvav, ala tzirch gufo, shiroi tzelishoi b'mayim v'chei agav, it says that you can use a shofar, if you're not allowed to blow with it on Shabbos, but if you need it to take some water, to draw some water. Have you ever tried? Have you ever tried with your shofar to draw some water with your shofar? Don't. So he said, if you want to draw water with the shofar, you can do that. He said that therefore it's permitted. Imagine to draw. How did that work? It would be interesting, no? He says, if you want to draw water with the shofar, then you can. He said, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. So if you need a place where the shofar is placed, or you need to draw water with it, you're allowed to use it, you're allowed to move the shofar. The poskim disagree. They say, hold on. Nobody nowadays is going to draw water with the shofar. Nobody's going to do that nowadays. They're expensive. So they call it mukta machmas chisin kis, which is the high level of mukta. If something is precious to you and it costs a lot of money, and if your kid touches it, you say, leave it alone now. If it's that kind of thing, then it's much more than tzirch gufo mekoymoy, then it's going to be also altogether, and it's mukta altogether. And that's halach lemaise. A shofar is mukta altogether. You may not move it about, according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, unlike what the Mishnah Berurah says over here. Okay, and that gets us into Siman Tovkuf Pei Tes. Here we're going to be discussing hearing aid. Is somebody who is on a hearing aid, who needs a hearing aid, can he fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar, or should he not bother? Question number one we're going to be discussing. Imagine you have a shul where there's a blind Baal Tekeah. Is that a problem or not? Imagine that. Have you ever seen such a thing? A blind Baal Tekeah, would that be a problem, yes or no? And I also want to be discussing, this siman is also going to discuss as to whether the bracha, the ladies and the bracha of shofar, do ladies make a bracha? Yes and no? Do the ladies make a bracha on tekeah shofar? And what happens if a lady comes in, she comes to shul for the musaf, and there's going to be lots of tekeahs during musaf, but she missed the bracha. She missed the bracha. You know who I am? Yeah? She's coming for Chazal Sashat, for Musaf. But you know which stage I am? Yeah? She's just come for Musaf. She's missed the first sets of shofar, but she's coming now for Musaf. What should she do about the bracha? Should she make a bracha? Should not make a bracha? That's another question we're going to be discussing here. Im Yetzah Hashem. Okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch Siman Tov Kuf Pei Tes Sif Aleph. Mi am aroim litkiyas shofar. Who is roi to blow the shofar? Who is appropriate to blow the shofar? Sif Aleph. Kol she'enu michuyev v'dova. Whoever is not obliged in the mitzvah, enu moitzi acherim midei chavosam, cannot be moitzi somebody else. That's the rule of thumb. Is somebody who is not obliged in the mitzvah, I cannot be moitzi you. So what does that mean? He explains. A cheresh, a deaf person. A shoita, a fool. A person who is halachically a fool. The cotton, and a young person. Sorry, Shmuley. A potter, they won't be able to moitzi anybody else. So a minor, however great he blows the shofar, or a cheresh, a deaf person, or a shoita, cannot be moitzi anybody else. So far, so good? Okay. How young does a Ken Baal Tekeah? What about just after Bar Mitzvah, is that okay? Just Bar Mitzvah, can you blow the shofar for somebody? Well, just 13? Why not? So, Mishnah Berurah says an interesting point. Sifkot and Beis. Afilu ben yud gimel shana. Even if he's 13 years old, kol zman shele adinon shei vishtei saras, if he's not physically mature, en yochal is gonna etzei acherim. If you're not sure that he's physically mature, you can't blow the shofar. So the Bar Mitzvah is not good enough. You need to make sure that he's physically mature. Now, Right. Cheresh Sivkotn Dalet. No, excuse me. Yeah.
Does the same
didn't
apply to them as
Bartholomew
a few weeks ago?
About no. Has to be, no. Not so much. It doesn't have to go that far, no. No, it does not. Now, what about a cheresh? A person who is... what is a cheresh? So the Shulchan Aruch explains. Cheresh, afilu medaber ve'enu shemea, enu moiti. Cheresh, somebody who doesn't hear. Even if he can talk, but he doesn't hear... He cannot be moitzi. So if he cannot hear, he cannot be moitzi. So imagine an old Baal Tekah, who is a bit hard of hearing, he cannot be moitzi others. Why? The kim the einu shemea, since he cannot hear, lav bar chiyuvahu, he's not within the obligation, so he cannot be moitzi others. Aval shemea veinu medaber, but if he does hear, but he cannot talk, moitzi achirim dechavosam, he can't be moitzi others. I'm not sure what the chiddush of that is. Of course, if he can't talk, what's the problem if he can't talk? I mean, if he can, as long as he can hear, he's a bar chiyuv. I'm not sure about that. But it says over here that somebody is deaf, cannot hear, he cannot be moitzi others. What happens if he can hear with a, imagine of a Baal Tekah, who can only hear by means of a hearing aid? What's that? It's okay. Why are you basing your, what are you basing your psak on? Because ultimately he can hear, is that what you mean?
Yes.
Because ultimately he can hear. Okay, let me look inside at Mishneh Berurah Sif Katan Dalet. Now, אבל שמע ואינו מדבר. Says Mishneh Berurah, ואפילו לכתחיל יכול אחר לברך ותקיע. Now, listen, look at the next few words. חירש, a deaf person, ששמע על ידי, that can hear through a, ששמע על ידי, that can hear through כלי, utensil, a device, כמין חצרויצרויס, like a trumpet. חייב בשפר, is obligated in שפר. Do you know what he means?
Yeah.
What device does he mean? What does he mean?
It's a conical shaped tube made out of metal. It looks like a shofar, a thing that you put in your ear and then you can funnel the sound into your ear.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because you might say that would be what is the expression they used to call havara or whatever.
Oh, one second. Very good. Very few points. But are we all clear on what it's talking about? Yeah, are we all clear? You know that thing? Okay. So V.E. says, let's just get the clear. Cheresh, a deaf person who can hear through such a device. What's the proper name of that?
A hearing horn.
A hearing horn, okay. He is Chayv B'Shofar. He's Chayv B'Shofar. Now, you're saying that why is it not called Koil Avorah? First of all, let's just get that clear. You're asking why is it not Koil Avorah? Right, we spoke about if you're blowing to a barrel, you're not yotze. If you're hearing any, we spoke about this hole up there. Do you remember all that? So we say you're not yotze. So why is it not a kol avor? The answer to that question is because that's just for me to hear it better. I'm hearing the kol shofar better. It doesn't. Now, let me ask you a question. So he says over here, somebody who is who hears through such a hearing horn, he's chayv shofar. He'll have to go to shul, and consequently, he'll actually be able to blow for others as well. Okay, but let's. That, nowadays, nobody goes around with those kinds of things. Ever seen anybody going around with such a thing? It's not that common. What happens with nowadays the contemporary way that people will deal with hearing problems is to have a hearing aid. Is a person who has a hearing aid obligated? Point number one: is he obligated to hear shofar? And if the answer is whatever the answer may be, the question will, question B will be: can he actually be moitzi others? Imagine Baal Tekah has gone old and he's hearing aid. Can he carry on blowing for others? So you said yes. And you're saying that it's probably similar to what the Mishneh Berurah says. It's similar to the hearing horn. Yes.
I would say no.
No. Very good. Why?
Because if he can hear without the hearing aid, then okay, maybe he'd be chayv. But if he can't hear except with the hearing aid, then essentially it's a microphone and a speaker.
Very interesting. A microphone and a speaker. Very good. What do you think? Hearing aid? And you're saying what? You're parav. You're saying that it depends on the circumstances. Or maybe you can say it's a machlokes. Yeah, very good. Yeah, very good. What do you think? Machlokes. Okay. Yeah, you're not likely to be that wrong if you say machlokes. Yeah, in halacha. Yeah. What do you think? Beautiful, beautiful. Look at that. Excellent. Beautiful point. Such an amazing point. Okay, so the emes is as follows. The poiskim, some poiskim seem to be saying Mishneh Berurah is matir a hearing aid. But if you look, the way we learned it now, it's not totally accurate. Because, you see, I know very little about this area, and I know I'm touching on something which I clearly don't know. But the way I understand from the advice from the poiskim from Shlomo Zalman, it sounds like a hearing aid. You are modifying, and you are, what did he say? You're electronically
changing.
You're not actually hearing the sound of the shofar. You're hearing something else that sounds pretty similar to the sound of the shofar, but you're not really hearing that. See, I'm not in the capacity of being, I can't explain it, I don't know. But not what you're really hearing is something else. If that's true, then certainly a hearing aid cannot be compared to a hearing horn. Because hearing on, you're definitely hearing the coil shofar, probably, that's what Mishneh Berurah says, and therefore you're chayav b'shofar, and you might see others. But as if, with regards to hearing eight, you're hearing something else. I'll tell you where the discussion is nogea as well. I heard a shir, which is really interesting as well, about a discussion, because a phone will be a similar type of shayla. That's what it sounds like from the poskim. I don't know enough about science. Is it science or geography? I don't know. I don't know enough about this area at all to be able to speak, but apparently the phone shaila is the same type of shaila. And it's of course very negia. Can you be yoitzer megillah through that? If a person cannot come to shul, can he listen to a megillah just by having the phone there? Or a very interesting shaila as well, which I just heard now. Can you appoint a shliach? Somebody wants to divorce his wife. But he can't be, but not a phone person, he can't be. I just heard a shayla like this in America. He doesn't want to divorce his wife, go in person. He wants to appoint a shliach. So there is such a thing, you can appoint a shliach, but the appointing of a shliach to give a get to his wife can only be done in person or with a minu shlichus. A minu shlichus would have to be himself. Now, if it's him speaking to somebody, he can be a manei shliach. But if it's not going through his voice, then you can't be a man shliach unless it's a voice. So if he picks up a phone and he says, listen, you rabbi, you sort it out for me, I haven't got nerves and time and patience for that, then if the phone is his voice, it's fine. But if the phone is not his voice, it's not fine. That's where this discussion comes into as well. But this over here, the mice over here, with regards to this shayla over here, most poskim, the consensus of the poskim seems to be, with regards to this area of halacha over here specifically, consensus of the poskim seems to be, you cannot be yoitzer mitzvah tzkiyah shofar through a hearing aid, unlike Mishneh Berurah's hearing horn, and therefore, actually, consequently, you won't be able to be in the position of actually being moitzi others. That's halacha lemaisa, we paskin. You want to ask something? Somebody wants to ask a question? What was that? Yeah.
This is an interesting case. Apparently, someone in Twin Towers, just before the plane hit, called up his rov and said, I want you to write a get for my wife.
Really?
The plane hit.
Really?
I heard
that's very interesting.
I'm not sure if it's possible, but if that worked, then she wasn't.
Yeah, that would be depending on that shayla. Very nice. There would be an arranging shayla. Yeah, that would be the same shayla. Right. Okay. So that's with regards to that. That leads us to Siv Gimel, a very important Siv. What about our women? Yeah, are they? Well, what's the halacha with regards to women? Siv Gimel, Isha Ptura. A woman is potter from Tkiyas Shofar. Mishum Dav Mitzvah is Mangomer, because we know all the time bound mitzvahs are. Women are exempt from fulfilling, right? Any time-bound mitzvahs, women don't have to fulfill. Why not? Why not? Why do mitzvahs? I mean, it's learned from a pasuk, really, but what's the deeper meaning of it? Mitzvahs man gomer, why is that? Oh, wow, that's interesting. That's interesting, I never heard that. That's it. They don't need... So that reminds me of... Okay, let's go in stage because that's going to be the second point I want to mention. The truth is, the Gemara learns from a pasuk that women are not are exempt from any time-bound mitzvahs. But the pasuk understanding is what Avodam says, that women are just busy at home. You can't... All the mitzvahs are not time-bound. Women can fulfill. But if that time, you can't put, you know, you can't tell a baby screaming with a, you know, with a nappy, you can't tell him, listen, I need to wait 5 minutes. I mean, you can't do that because, you know, they can't be limited, they can't fulfill mitzvahs according to times. That stuff would have that time because they are busy in the house. A deeper understanding is, Shimon Shaphol Hirsch writes in one place that time bar mitzvah is actually something which we, in the men, it's something which is it's a very deep point. Shimon Shaphol Hirsch explains that men need to constantly remind us of their connection to Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why they have Pesach, they have Sukkot, they have all the mitzvahs to constantly remind themselves of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the connection. They say women's relationship to Ribbono Shel Olam is much stronger, they don't need that. That's what he says.
They're born on a much higher spiritual level.
That's right. Yeah, that's what he says. That they don't need the constant reminders. That's why mitzvahs man gomer, noshim apotu, because they don't need those mitzvahs, such as Yom Shavuot Hirsch. Isn't that an interesting point? Yeah? Okay, see. Mitzvah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was part of that. So anyway, that's what he says. So mitzvahs man gomer, noshim apotu. I was asked yesterday a very interesting question. Can I quote you? Mr. Vigoda asked, what if a woman wants to... a woman that can blow the shofar herself, is it better if she blows it herself, or is it better if a man blows for her? Interesting question. And I have to admit, I never thought of it, but then I saw that the Shai Tshuva right over here discusses this Shaila. And Shaila, what do you think, Abba Isai? What's better, for her to blow herself, or for a man to blow for her? Woman who can blow the shofar herself. Better for a man to blow?
Well, he's the one that she obligates.
Yeah, but she can be moitzi her own obligation, arguably.
Right. It's on a lower level, though.
We're going to talk about the bracha, that a woman actually can make a bracha. Yeah, a man can make as well for her. We're going to get to that, actually. Let's leave out the bracha. We're going to discuss the bracha mitzvah. I thought we'd get to it tonight. We won't. We'll speak about it tomorrow. But Bach will be discussed tomorrow. Says the Shai Tshuva over here on top. Because of the Shagas Aryeh, Sheyoyse Roi Laish Lisker Leisha, it is more appropriate for a man to blow for a woman, Meshitaki Leatzmo, rather than she blows herself, for herself. Or Isha Leish, or one woman for another woman. So the best is a man should blow for her. He doesn't explain why, and I didn't check up what the Shai Yisai writes inside. But he does say clearly, Allah and Ma'aseh, it's better for a man to blow for her rather than she to blow for herself. So that's what the paskins over here.